Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Metzia Daf Nun Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Nun Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. And Masai Mutar Lahachzir. We learned in the Mishnah that according to the opinion of the Chachamim, in the situation of a no, the person has a right to claim that there was a no. However, there's a statute of limitations, and according to the Chachamim, it's the amount of time it takes to show it to a merchant or to a relative to see if there was a nor here. Comments from Nachman. Omer of Nachman. Loi shana v'loikeach. When we speak about a time frame, we only speak regarding the customer. Ava meicher, the seller, loilem chayzer, always has a right to, that has no time limitation. And the Gemara will soon explain why there is a difference between the seller and the buyer. Name him a Sile. So the Gemara wants to bring a proof to Rav Nachman's distinction between the buyer and the seller. It said in our Mishnah, the first Mishnah quotes the opinion of the Chachamim, who say that Aino is a shtus, is a sixth. And as we've been learning, there are three categories. There's less than a sixth, where we have automatic mechila, a sixth, and more than a sixth. Then the Mishnah quoted the opinion of Reb Tarfon, who says that the shear is not a sixth, rather it's a third. And as the Mishnah reported, that the Tagri Lud, the merchants of Lud, were very happy to hear Reb Tarfon's opinion. But then when Reb Tarfon said that his time limitation is not just the amount of time it takes to show it to a relative or a merchant, but according to him, it's the amount of time of a whole day. So Chazor de Chachamim, the merchants of Lud preferred the Chachamim's opinion. Says the Gemara, if Amrit Bishlama Meichel Olam Chazor, if we'll say that the halacha is that the seller always has a right to claim Aino if he undercharged, Mishim Hachi Chazor. So now we could understand why they went back to the opinion of the Rabbanan. Because if we'll say that, because if the seller was cheated, he didn't gain from Rav Tarfon's extension, because they could always make a claim. But according to Rav Tarfon, that the buyer got an extension, that he could claim all day, that's why we could understand what a Tagrei Lud were not satisfied with Rav Tarfon's extension. Eli Amrit Meikher Nami Kolekeich Dami, that the time frame we speak about is not only by the buyer, but it's also by the Meikher. My Nafkaleimine, why shouldn't they be happy? Kehecha, the Avdele Rabbanan Takanto Lekeich, just like Rav Tarfon gave an extension to the buyer, he also gave an extension to the seller. So they should be happy that they got this extension. The fact that they weren't satisfied with the extension Rav Tarfon gave them must be, like Rav Nachman said, because the seller is never limited to a time frame, and therefore the extension that Rav Tarfon is giving has no meaning to them. And that's why they weren't satisfied, because it was only to the benefit of the buyer, his extension. Says the Gemara, that's not true. The raya is not a raya. It could very well be that that sellers are also subject to a time frame. However, the Tagri Lud, Lashkich de To, they don't make mistakes, the Tagri Lud, and therefore they don't care about time extension, because they don't really need an extension. But it could well be that time frames don't only apply to buyers, they do apply to sellers. However, here we're going to quote now a Gemara, which the Gemara clearly indicates that Rav Nachman felt that time extension is only to the buyer, not to the seller. Because the Gemara says, Ushbezichnei d'rami b'chom ezom mechav v'tah. The landlord of Rami Bachama sold wine and he undercharged. He made a mistake and he undercharged. And Rami found him upset. Amalei, my tzivus. And he asked him, why are you upset? Amalei, so he said, Zvina chamri v'tai. I sold wine and I made a mistake. I undercharged. Amalei, so Rami said to him, Zil hadabach, retract, reverse the sale. Amalei, so the landlord said, Hashali yaisi mechdeisha era l'tagel l'krovei, the time of showing it to a relative or merchant passed, and it passed the statute of limitations where I could claim I know. Shadri l'kameid Rav Nachman, so he sent the landlord to Rav Nachman. Amalei, and Rav Nachman told him, Loi shana l'keyach. It's only regarding a buyer that we have this time frame. Ava moicher, lo'olam chayzer, always has the right to retract. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why do we treat the seller and the buyer differently? Says the Gemara, Lekeach mecha biyadoi, the buyer has the actual item that he bought in his hands, and therefore, kol hecha da'ozo machvilei, he has the ability to take it to show to anybody, and they'll tell him if there was fraud or not. Vamilei ita iloita. However, the meicher sold the item. He no longer has something to show. Admis amrele is vinte kizvinte. So only when we'll have another opportunity that he'll have such an item, will he know yoda ito viloita if there was a mistake, and therefore we have to give him a longer time. The Rishonim debate, what will be the halacha if the seller still has in his possession an item that's similar to the original item that he sold? Some say that there, the halacha that the seller has no statute of limitation won't apply, because since he has another item similar to the item that he sold, he does have the ability to determine if there was a no or not. Other Rishonim, however, say that loy plug, Chazal didn't make a nafkamina, and it makes no difference if he has such an item still in his possession or not. There is no time statute of limitations for the seller. There's a very interesting nesivus. The nesivus says that, as we learned earlier in our perek, there are different types of kinyonim, and sometimes it's possible to have a kinyon in which the seller still holds on to the item that was sold. Let's say there was a Kenyan Suder. So we discussed that in the case of a Kenyan Suder, the halacha is that it becomes the possession of the buyer, but it's still physically in the possession of the seller. So then the Siva says, under that, such circumstances, the halacha would be just the opposite. That the seller has a statute of limitations and not the buyer. Because he says the seller still has the item that he could show to others to see if there was a no. The buyer doesn't have anything that he could show to determine if there was a no or not. However, that is the opinion of the Nesivus. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes a number of Achronim that disagree, and they say that as soon as the seller sells the item, he doesn't look to see if there was a no here or not, and therefore says the Nesivus, therefore says the Pesachei Tshuva in the name of a number of Achronim, it wouldn't make a difference. And again, the statute of limitation is only to the buyer, not to the seller. Furthermore, Rashi says that, let's say the seller, as our Gemara says, is not limited to a statute of limitations. However, when does he choose to say that there was a no? He only chooses to claim that there was a no. Let's say he sold a talis, says Rashi, only after the price of talisim go up. Then he would not be able to make that claim. And the Mefarshim explained the opinion of Rashi, because there it's obvious that why did he wait to claim that there was a no until this late date? It must be because he felt, because he knew all along that he was over, that might have been a no. He was Michael. It's only now where he can make a significant gain by claiming that there was a no, does he remember to say that there was a no. There are Rishonim that disagree with Rashi, and again, they follow the opinion that Rav Nachman said there is no difference. The seller never has a time frame to limit when he could say, to when they could say there was a no. There is an interesting psak that I saw based on this Gemara. The shaila that was asked was in a situation where somebody was selling a used car, and the salesman told the buyer, you could have this car evaluated by different tests. There are certain inspection you could do on the car to see if the car ever had an accident, or there are certain reports that you could receive to determine if the car had any such occurrences that would change the value of the car. The buyer chose not to take advantage of any of these opportunities. They obviously cost money, and he didn't want to spend the money, and he bought the car. A while later, he takes the car to the mechanic, and the mechanic tells him, you should know, when I inspected your car, it became obvious to me that this car had a terrible accident once, and therefore there was a situation of a no. Can the buyer claim a no? Or can the seller say, I gave you the opportunity, I told you you could have the car evaluated. Why didn't you do it? And now you can't claim that I cheated you. What is the halacha? So the Paiskim seem to say that this would be a case of a no. Could they say that the halachas of a no only begin after the sale? There are no halachas of a no prior to the sale. And the raya they bring is the Gemara that we just learned. Because the Gemara we just learned says that after the sale, the seller doesn't have the ability to claim a no because he doesn't have the item available to him. But he had the item available to him before the sale. It must be that before the sale, hilchos oino do not apply. And they say a very nice svara to explain this psak. We will, Amir Tashem, learn later that the halachas of oino are compared to the halachas of gzela. Gzela, by definition, only happens after the item was stolen. The same is what I know, that I know is only after the item was sold, and that's when there was possibly a know, not prior to that. Says the Gemara, Hu gavra davenoked vashchil ezvuni. There was an individual that was holding on to silk to sell. Karishita v'shavi chamsha. He wanted to sell it for 6 zuz when they were really only worth 5 zuz. But if the customer were to give him 5.5 zuz, have a shekel, he would accept it. Also, so there was a customer who said to himself, if I'll give him 5.5 zuz, have a mechila. As we've learned, if the oinor is less than a sixth, there's automatic mechila. So what he said was, what I'll do is, etan leishita, I'll give him 6. And by giving him 6, I'll be able to claim my no, because it's a shtos, it's a 6. Vet v'lei ladina, and I'll get back the extra zuz. Osla kamei de Rava. This question came to Rava, Amalei, and Rava said to him, what you're doing would potentially be acceptable. However, the halacha is that I no only applies el b'lekech min a tagger, when you buy from a merchant. Here you are buying a v'lekech min balabayis, there is no no. As the Rishonim explained, since the person, the balabayis, is not in the business of selling items, and if he does sell, it's because he's strapped for cash, and he's only going to sell when he could get more than the right price, and therefore there's no no by a balabayis. The Rishonim point out that from this Gemara we see that even though somebody is entering into a transaction in which he knows that there is a no, he could still make a claim for a no. Although there is a machloikis of the Bach and Rama, if he has to declare in front of Aden that he recognizes that this is a situation of a Noah, and he's going to make this claim, which is the opinion of the Bach. The Ramah, however, says that the buyer can demand a refund even without making any such declaration in front of Edom. However, the Nesivis quotes a Mordechai, who says that the din that we just learned in our Gemara only applies when the overcharge was exactly a shtus. But if he overpaid more than a shtus, without, and he didn't make any objection, then we could assume that his silence is a mechila. Because the Nesivis explains the opinion of the Mordechai. He says that if there was a overcharge of more than a shtus, so as we learned before, Tosfos said this, the halacha doesn't view this as a sale, and either party has the right to void the sale. So therefore, since the seller equally to the buyer, if the overcharge is more than a shtus, has a right to back out of the sale, why didn't he say so immediately? By not saying so immediately, it's obvious that he is willing to accept the overpayment and cannot say later on that there's a claim of Einor. Says the Gemara, Hu gavra dav nokit kipel azvini. There was an individual who had earrings for sale. Kari shitin v'shava chamshin. He was asking for 60 zuz when the earrings were really worth only 50 zuz. V'yavalei chamishim v'chamsha, but if he would have gotten 55 zuz, have a shekel, he would take it. Also gav v'omer. So again, a customer came and said, "Iyavin l'chamshim v'chamsha, if I'll give 55 zuz, then it'll be a mechila, because it's less than a shtus. Etin le'shitin, I'll give 60 zuz, Vet Baladina, so that I could claim a claim of Einor. Also came to Rav Chisda. The question came to Rav Chisda, and again Rav Chisda said, Lo shanu, this halacha of Einor only applies b'lekech min atagar, when you're purchasing from a merchant. Ava b'lekech min balabayis, if you purchase from a balabayis, ein lo yalav Einor, there are no dinim of Einor. Abalei Rav Dimi, and Rav Dimi said, Yasher, this is well said. The Ked Amar Rav Elazar, Yasher, what you said was well said. Ask the Gemara, for Nantanan, aren't we going to learn in the next Mishnah that Kshem Shenor LeHegyit, Kachanor LeTagar, that it not applies both by a Hegyit and by a merchant? So why are we saying, ask the Gemara, that there are no Hilchos Einor by a Balabayis? Answers the Gemara, ask the Gemara, because man hedged la balabayis, isn't the hedged that we're referring to a balabayis? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Chizda, the Mishnah that treats a balabayis and a merchant in the same way is referring to tzardaisa, garments made out of hemp, and those are items that the balabayis, Rashi explains, has no use for, and therefore he's not selling them because he's strapped for cash. That's what we say balabayis is treated differently than a merchant, because the balabayis sells them because he doesn't need them. The Rishash explains there are certain items that even when a balabayis sells, it's obvious that he's selling them because these are items for sale, not items that he would normally keep, and tzardaisa fall into that category. Av monedat tishmishte, things that are of a personal use, the yakrele, that have a lot of value to balabayis, he would never agree to sell unless he got extra money, and therefore the halacha is that by balabayis the dina Einor don't apply. There is a machlokes rishonim that when our Gemara says that the dina Einor don't apply by the balabayis, is that in a situation where the customer is purchasing directly from the balabayis, or only when the customer is purchasing directly from the balabayis? What would be the halacha if the customer is purchasing from a broker who's selling the balabayis' items? Will the halachas of Einor apply or not? Furthermore, there's an interesting machlokes rishonim that we were saying that the din einor do not apply by a balabayis. Is that the din by ishtus? That when the einor is exactly a sixth, that's what we're treating a balabayis different than a merchant. However, if the einor was more than a sixth, there we'll treat the balabayis the same way like everybody else, that either party could void the sale. Or some rishonim say, even by more than a sixth, when you buy something from a balabayis, you recognize that the balabayis is selling it, as our Gemara just said, because he's strapped for cash, and you accepted that overcharge, and you're meichel, even if it's more than a sixth. Similarly, the question comes up, what happens if the balabayis was the one that sold the item, and he sold the item, and he undercharged? So will the dina einor apply or not? Some rishonim, based on our Gemara, suggest that there the dina einor apply. We're only not applying the halakos of einor when the balabayis overcharges, not when the balabayis undercharges. However, there are rishonim that suggest that even when the balabayis undercharges, and as we're learning and will continue to learn, the halakos of einor apply even to when it's to the detriment of the seller. Here we could say the dina einor will not apply, because again, these rishonim use the same logic that our Gemara is using, and they say that we're referring to a situation that the seller is strapped for cash, and because he's strapped for cash, he's willing to take even less than the item is worth, just that he should be able to get some funds available to him. Says the Mishnah, Echad alokeach v'echad amoicher. Both the buyer and the seller, yesh l'mayinah, are subject to the halakos of einor. Says the Mishnah, k'shem shenor lehejit, kachanor l'tager. The dina einor, as the Gemara just quoted, apply both by a hejit and by a merchant. V'yudaymer, ein einor l'tager, there is no einor by a merchant. The Gemara will soon explain why is a tager, according to Yehuda, treated differently. Continues the Mishnah, Misha Hutal Alav Yada Al Yonai. The victim of the fraud is in the upper hand. Rots Aymedli Telim Uasai. If he wants, he could say, I want to void the sale and give back my money. Oi Telim Mashinisani, we could say, give me back the difference of what the amount that I was cheated. Ask the Gemara, Menani Mili, from where do we know that the Dina Einor apply both to the buyer and seller? The Tanur Rabbanan, the pasuk says, "V'chisimku memkal misacha atayna." Only elishinus anerloi keach. We only know that when the buyer was defrauded, nesanem meicha minayim. How do we know that the dina will not apply even when the meicha was cheated? Tamalayma akaynu atayna. Says the Gemara, "V'itzruch lemichtav lekeach, v'itzruch lemichtav meicha." The Torah had to teach us that halachos of einor apply both by lekeach and by meicha. Dikas Rachmana Meicher, if the Torah had only taught us the halachis by Meicher, Mishim de Kimle Besvinte, the Meicher, the seller, knows how much he paid for the item, and he knows how much he's selling it for, and therefore if he sells it for more than the fair amount, the profit, he's obviously doing einor. Avalekeach, but when we come to speak about the customer, like Kimle Bezvinte, who really doesn't know what the purchase price was, the Torah doesn't apply the halacha of Leitayin to him. And in fact, some Rishonim want to suggest, based on this Gemara, that one violates the Isser of Einor is it even in a situation where he wasn't aware that he's being over the Isser. Because in this case, the Gemara is suggesting that the customer might not even know that he's doing einor, and maybe therefore he should not transgress the Aveira. Teaches us the Torah that even if he doesn't know, he's doing the Aveira. Others say that certainly one is not over the Aveira of einor unless he knows what he's doing. Vikos Rachmano Lekeach, if the Torah had only mentioned Lekeach, Mishum de Kakani, he's in a better position because he is able to buy something. The Amr Inchi, as people say, Savinta Kanisa, whoever buys something has accomplished something. Ava Moichler, somebody who unfortunately has to sell, Davudika Moid, he's in a losing position. Dami Inchi, as people say, Zavin, if you sold Ovid, because once you sell something, you no longer have this in your possession. Eimaloi Azarech Manab Loisainu, maybe the Torah didn't say the halacha of Loisainu to him, Tzricha. Ask the Mefarshim. We just finished learning in the previous piece of Gemara that the halacha of Oino only is, doesn't apply by Balabayas. So when do people say that if you sell something you lost, it speaks to Balabayas, who for Balabayas Nebuch was in a weak position and he had to sell off his possessions, people say Zvanta Oivid. But ask the Mefarshim, a Balabayas that sells anyway, as we learned in the previous Gemara, is not subject to the Hilchos Oino. So who are we talking about? We're talking about a merchant. But that's what a merchant does. That's what a businessman does. He sells items. That's what he's in business for. That you can't call him at a loss if he sells something. So why does the Gemara apply this concept? So the Mefarshim are very troubled with this question. And the best answer I found to this question goes back to a Machlokes Rishonim that we quoted earlier. That we said that even though the halachas of Oino don't apply to Balabayas, but if the Balabayas sells the item through a broker, then the halachas of Oino do apply. And that's what our Gemara is speaking to. It's speaking to a Balabayas who sold, who has our Gemara, as people say, a person who never has to sell is in a weak position, and the halachas of Oino apply because he's selling through a broker. So we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda Oimer, Ein Oino L'Tagar. When there's a merchant, there's no dinim of Oino. Ask the Gemara, Mishrim Shu Tagar, Ein Oino L'Oino, because he's a merchant, dinim of Oino ought not to apply to him. Amrav Nachman, Amrav, our Mishnah is referring to Tagar Saf Shoshana. Is it talking about a person who's a broker who immediately sells, buys and sells? My Tama. So what's pshat in Rabbi Yehuda? May the idea zvinta kamishavya. This person knows exactly what it was worth, what he bought. And if he went, this is the way we have to understand this opinion, Rabbi Nachman's opinion, if he went and sold the item for a cheap price, achule achlegabei, it must be that he didn't care. Because why did he sell it for less than he ought to? Because v'hai d'zav nahochi mishum d'sam le'ziv d'achritei, another deal came up, and that's why which he saw as a very lucrative opportunity, and that's why he took advantage and wanted to get the cash and was willing to sell it at a cheaper price than he's entitled to. And now heshtemi kahadabei, now he wants to retract on the original sale. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda says that if a merchant like this sells an item for less than it's worth, obviously the dina Oino will not apply to him. Ravashi takes it the other jada extreme. Ravashi amamai ein letagar Oino. What does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says that a merchant is not subject to Hilchos Oino? Ein abetayrus Oino. The dina of Oino don't apply to him. Shafila pachs mechtei Oino chayzer. We've been discussing that when there was Oino of less than a shtus, there's automatic mechila. Says Rav Ashi, that isn't by a tagger. A tagger who's in business to do business can't afford any loss. And therefore, even if there was a no of less than a shtus, he can't accept it. However, says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosid Rav Nachman, Rav Yudaimer, tagger ain't loyal of a no. A tagger is not subject to a no. Neshubaki, he knows the price, and if he was willing to sell it for less, it must be because he wanted the money. So we learned in the Mishnah, Misha Hutalov Yodel Yoinai. The person who's the victim has the upper hand. Ask the Gemara, Mani Masnisen, who is the town of our Mishnah, Loi Reb Nosson, for Loi Reb Yehuda Nosson. He doesn't seem to follow not the opinion of Reb Nosson nor Reb Yehuda Nosson. Ereb Nosson, Masnisik Tani Retza, our Mishnah says that when there was an Oino of exactly Shtos, you could back out of the deal. Reb Nosson and the Braisa says you could get back the money that you were cheated, but you can't back out of the deal. Reb Yehuda Nosi Masnisik Tani Lekeach. Our Mishnah says that a Lekeach, if he was the victim, could either back out of the deal or get back his money. But when the Braisa, when it quotes Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, it speaks about the Meicher having that ability, not the Loikeach. Says the Gemara, Zimin Zabrash. Rabbi Lazar, I nazu any day Mishana. I taka don't know who is the Tana of a Braisa. It must be a new Tana, for our Mishnah is not consistent neither with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda nor with the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. Rav Amma, Loyal Rabbi Nosson he. We will say that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. The Tana Nami Braisa, and when we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Nosson's opinion, don't say that Rabbi Nosson only allows the victim to get back the amount that he was overcharged. Rabbi Nosson and the Braisa will also agree that he has a right to back out of the deal. So there's a machloikis rishonim. According to this, what is the machloikis? According to this teretz, what is the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nosson? Rashi, and most rishonim drawing and explaining Rashi, seem to learn as follows: that according to Rabbi Nosson, either the meicher or the lekeach, whoever was the victim of the Aynah, either of them has the opportunity either to back out of the deal or to get back the amount that he was overcharged or undercharged. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi will say that only the Meicher has that ability, not the Lokeach. That's how Rashi, the Ritva, and most Rishonim learn the Gemara. Other Rishonim, however, learn the Gemara as follows. Rabbi Nosson says that only the Lokeach has this ability, and Rabbi Yossi says that only the Lekeach has this ability, and Rabbi Yudah Nosti will say that only the Meicher has this ability. Rav Amma, Rav says, Lo'ilam Rabbi Yudah Nosti hi. Rav says that the Tanav of Mishnah is Rabbi Yudah Nosti. Umay the Shaiva Misnissen, but the way to understand the Braisa is that what the Mishnah didn't discuss, Kamafarish Braisa teaches us the Braisa. And in other words, our Mishnah spoke regarding the Lekeach, and the Braisa, since the Mishnah only spoke about the Lekeach, speaks about the Meicher. But according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the Lekeach and the Meicher will be treated the same way. Amar of Ashi, Dekanami. I'll explain to you that's the right way of understanding our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah began, the Tani Echel Lekeach Echel Meicher. We treat the Lekeach and the Meicher the same way. And Mefarsh the Lekeach. And then the Mishnah goes on to only speak about the Lekeach. What about the Meicher? The way we have to understand it is, Shema mino shure shire lemeicher. The Mishnah omitted the Meicher and came along the Braisa to teach us that the Meicher has the same rights as the Lekeach. Shema mino. Itma. Haimel chaver amnash ein lecho alai o no. If somebody sells something to somebody else and he makes a stipulation that the Hilchos o no will not apply here. Rav Amma, you can't make such a stipulation. And yesh loyal of Anor, the halachos of Anor will still apply. Shmuel Amar, and loyal of Anor, the halachos of Anor will not apply. Says the Gemara, it seems that this machlaikis is really a machlaikis that we've already had. Lema Rav Damak Rameya, Rav's opinion is consistent with Rameya's opinion. Shmuel Damak Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel's opinion is like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa Masechta Kedushin, Hoy Melisha Harei Mekdash Asli Amnash Ein Lecho Elai Shek Sos Vayna, that I won't be obligated to give you food, clothing, or marital relations. So Ramei says Harei Zem Kedashes V'Tanoi Bottle. The Kedushin is valid, but the Tanai is invalid. Diver Rameya, because it's a Masna Amash Akosu B'Toyra. Ask the Rishonim, as we've learned so many times, how is this Tanai articulated? How is this Tanai that Al Gemara is referring to articulated? The husband tells the wife, if you agree to marry me, and I won't be obligated with Sherek Sus V'Oyna, we're married. And then if you don't agree, then we're not married. So why, according to Rameyer, is the Kedushin a Kedushin? Part of what he clearly said was that if you're not going to accept this Tanai, we don't have a marriage. Why is there a marriage? Is he still obligated? So some Rishonim explain that what Rameyer is saying is that we understand that this husband is really just trying to taunt his wife. He really, of course, wants to marry her, and he really wants, of course, to be obligated to treat her like all husbands have to treat their wives. He's just trying to taunt her. Others explain, and we've said this Terence in our shiurim previously, this concept that one can make a tanai, that one can make a stipulation, which we take so for granted, because it comes up so often in halacha, is really not such a simple din, and is not something that can be taken for granted. It's a chiddush haTorah that you can make a tanai, and the Torah set certain rules when you can make a tanai and when you can't make a tanai. And this is such an example that a tanai, as I said a moment ago, where your masna amashikos b'Torah is not a valid tanai as far as hilchus tanoim are concerned. And since, as far as hilchus tanoim are concerned, it's not a valid tanai, we don't have a tanai here. Nothing was said, it's just a regular kedushin. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that b'davish b'mamet tanoi kayim, as far as if it's only a financial issue, then the tanai is standing. And therefore the Rishonim say, certainly as far as the sharing ksus are concerned, the food and clothing is certainly only considered a monetary obligation, and therefore the tanai stands. There is a machlokes Rishonim regarding oina, the marital relations. Some say the marital relations cannot be considered a davishim mammon, and on the oina, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that the tanai is not valid. Others say that marital relations also, since it's a physical issue, is considered in the same category as a davishim mammon, and the tanai is bottle. The Rashba has a very interesting way of explaining the machloikus or mei Rabbi Yehuda. He explains as follows. Certainly if a wife goes and says to her husband, I'm Michael, I'm not going to require you to give me sher ksus for oina, a wife has a right to say that to her husband. On the other hand, if a husband indicates to his wife, I want to violate what it says in the Torah, that the Torah says that a husband is obligated with sher ksus for oina, and I want to say that I'm not going to be obligated, everybody agrees that masna mashikos b'Torah t'nor bottle. The machlokes between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda is how to view this situation. Do we view this situation as a situation where the husband is saying to the wife, I want to violate what it says in the Torah, and therefore Ramei says t'nor bottle? Or do we view it as a situation that the wife is sort of saying that I'm moichel these things that Rabbi Yehuda says a wife has the right to do this? So the Gemara is suggesting that alma shaila, if somebody can make a condition in a sale, amnash elcha alayo ino, it's connected to this machlokes of Ramei Rabbi Yehuda. Amlach Rav, so Rav says to you, another amri fil Rabbi Yehuda. I who say that when somebody says amnash elcha alayo ino, the tanai is meaningless and there is halachas of ino, could even follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. For at kalner kam Rabbi Yehuda hasam of the yad kamochla, as we just explained, there the wife is, so to speak, the one that's agreeing that she is forgiving the share of ksus oino obligation. Aval hocha, in our case, miyad de mochel, when the buyer agreed to this, did he know for sure that he's being defrauded? He's not sure that he's going to be defrauded. And therefore, we can't say that it's similar to that situation where he's entering into the obligation knowing what he's getting into. V'shmul Amar, another Amri Afila Rameya. My position can be consistent even with Rameya. Because at kan lo kam Rameya hasam el devade kaker, in that case, for sure, the din of Sher Ksus V'ayna will be nullified. Aval hacha, just because he says that I'm not obligated to the miyemer the kar kamidi, it's not for sure that there's going to be ino. There may not necessarily be any ino, and therefore it's not the same. And the Mepais can point out that this question of menash elcha alay ino is a question that comes up quite often. Because in certain communities, in certain places, when they sell a sroigim, they sell a sroigim in closed boxes. All you know is that the esrig is a kosher esrig, but you don't know the quality of the esrig. And then you could open up the esrig and you could have a beautiful esrig, which may be worth a lot more than you paid. Or you could have not such a nice esrig, a kosher one, but not so nice that you may feel isn't worth the amount that you paid. The price could say, buying an esrig in such a situation is like buying an esrig, and it's fine. However, I did say that the Paiskim indicate that even in the communities where they sell the esrogim in the closed boxes, sometimes they have different categories. The very nice esrogim and lesser esrogim. And if you buy an esrog in one category and the esrog you buy doesn't at all fall into that category, even though you can't stipulate exactly how much the esrog should be worth, but if you were sold something that's not in the right category at all, there the halacha is that you have a right to claim oino. Amrav Anan. The day Mefarsh Leminai Demar Shmuel. Rav Anan goes on to explain Shmuel's opinion. If somebody says to somebody else, Amnash Ein Lecha Alay Oino, he enters into a deal and he says, Amnash Ein Lecha Alay Oino, the halacha is Ein Lecha Ein loyal of an or. The stipulation stands and he can't make an or claim. However, if the stipulation was worded amnash ein by an or, that there is no an or in this transaction, we don't interpret it as meaning that the buyer is waiving his rights to an or. What we understand it to mean is that the seller is telling the buyer, don't worry, I'm being honest, and this price is an honest price, and if it turns out that it's not an honest price, he'll be subject to the Hilchos Oino. Meisvei asked the Gemara, Hanoisim v'Hanoisim v'Amona, somebody who trades on trust. And we're going to learn our Gemara Mitzvashem like Rashi explains. Rashi explains that the Gemara is referring to a situation where somebody gave merchandise to someone else to sell, and he told him, whatever you get, that's what I'll take. Therefore, if the person who I asked to sell this item comes back with money, and I told him you sold it for too little, I can't claim a no. On the other hand, if the shliach sells it for a lot, and he says that I want to keep more of the profit than I'm entitled to, he's also not entitled. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. And that's the shot that we're going to work with. Tosfos explains the Gemara that's referring to a situation where somebody bought an object, and now he gives it over to somebody else to sell. And he says to him, I bought this object for so much and so much, and I want to get this much, which obviously includes a profit. If afterwards it turns out that the price that I paid was the wrong price, this deal will not be subject to a no. But again, we'll follow Rashi's pshat. So Rashi speaks about anois b'mana, and also haim l'chaveiro. Amnash ein l'cha alay no, is the locha ein l'cha alav no. Says the Gemara, l'rav, according to Rav's opinion, that says Afila Rabbi Yehuda, everybody agrees that you can't make such a stipulation. Hamani, who is the town of this brisa? Amr Abaya, says Abaya, Mechvarta, after learning this brisa, Rav Amak Rameya. We have to say the Rav follows the opinion of Rameya, and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and Shmuel says like Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Amar Loikasha, Kambistan. When did Rav say his din? When the overcharge wasn't specified. But Kama Farish, when the seller specifies that he's overcharging, even Rav will agree that it's fine. The Tanya, the Medvar Amurim, Bestam, when the overcharge was left unspecified, Avil B'Mefarish, but where the seller specifies, that means, says the Braisa, says the Gemara, Rava, A seller says to the buyer, "Chafetz zushani meichel abemasayim. This item that I'm selling you for $200. Yedei ani boy she'en shav alamana. I know it's only worth $100. I'm not she'en lechal nevano, but I'm selling it to you, and you should have no claim to me. En loichal no." And similarly, kein lekech amal meicher. Chafetz zushani lekech mucham amana. This item that I'm buying for you for $100. Yedei ani boy she'shav masayim. I know it's really worth $200. I'm not sure if you're not, but you're agreeing into the deal. Even Rab will agree, ain't loyal or not. Turn Rabbon, says the Braisa. Hanois v'nois v'mono. And again, we're going to learn, like Rashi explains, that it's referring to a situation of giving articles to someone to sell. Now, in the articles, according to Rashi's explanation, the wine that I gave him to this person to sell, there was some very good wine, and there was some poor quality wine. And the Meicher says to the Shliach, you have a right to hold on to all the money, even though the good wine you're going to be able to sell quickly, until you finish selling the poor quality wine, which is obviously going to take you longer. Says the Gemara, if you enter into such a ration, you're not allowed to say that. He shouldn't say that the poor merchandise I'm giving you on trust, and the good merchandise you have to pay me back right away. Either everything should be done on trust, or everything should be done as soon as you get it. Why? Because as Rashi explains, if you're going to pay some on amona, and you're going to pay some on amona, and some you're going to pay b'shava, it looks like ribbis. Because the better quality merchandise, which will be sold immediately, and the poor quality merchandise will only be sold slowly, since the original person doesn't collect the proceeds of either the sales until everything is sold, then we see that he's holding on to the proceeds that he got from selling for the better merchandise. He's holding on to that as schar for not having to give the other money, and that looks like ribbis. The merchandise given on trust, he gives the agent schar tofes, schar kosef, the cost he incurred for transporting the merchandise to the store from my home, schar gomel, the camel driver's fee, schar pandik, the amount that he had to pay to stay in a hotel when he was traveling. However, schar atz my nein and neutel. But the agent doesn't take a fee for himself. He's already getting his fee. Ask the Gemara, where do you get it? It's talking about, as we spoke about earlier, that I gave him hemp garments, that the minig was, the custom was, the Yav Arbalameya, that for every 100 garments I gave him, he's entitled to keep 4 garments, which be his, and that's where he gets his profit.